When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here we are, the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I write for Zone Covered, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. My co-host is Adam Patrick, the managing editor of the Viking Age. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. 1,100 subscribers strong entering this season. Yep. So I think, what was it, like a year, like November, we had like 500, right? Yep. So, I mean, it like it in the past. Oh, math. They say not all men are created
doubled
equal.
It. More than doubled it.
Normally, you got a 50-50 chance. Yes, double. Sorry. I was going into some Steiner math there. genetic freak. Anyway, let's talk about the Minnesota Vikings, shall we? As they're reporting for training camp. Now, you know, people report to camp early. I saw that out there today, you know. It's a pretty good thing everybody's there. You know, no contract holdouts, in case you're freaking out about that. J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner, they are signed. They are in Eagan. So that's a good thing. But Kwesi Odofor, you can tell I'm struggling. So
it's a Monday.
Let's rewind this. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell spoke to the media. Lots of things to discuss. Normally, you have a lot of coach speak and optimism. Like, I think we'll have a really good team this year. If you're the New York Jets, you have Aaron Rodgers like making up the definition of mandatory. You know, there are so many things that you could say are mandatory, but they're not really mandatory. When I go across the world in the Starship Pain and see the seven pyramids of Egypt, actually, he said he went to Egypt. He was probably just super fucking high. And it's the pyramids, bro. It's the pyramids. All right, I'm going down an alley we probably don't want to go down. All right, let's sober up, because the first thing that the Vikings talked about, of course, was the death of cornerback Kyree Jackson. Kevin O'Connell said it was the call that every coach doesn't want to get during that time of the year. And of course, it's a little bit more amplified considering this is a death. So it is hanging over training camp. They reflected on his life and the support of the organization. Vikings members will fly out to Kyree Jackson's funeral on Friday, and there will also be a celebration of life in the upcoming week among teammates. There will be a patch. They said there will be a pin and some other ways to memorialize Jackson heading into the 2024 season. You know, he wasn't going to say anything surprising here. I think they're all shocked. I think there's not really a big hot talker when it comes to this, but was there anything that stood out to you when Kevin O'Connell talked about Kyree Jackson's death for the first time?
Nothing shocking, but you know, you realize that it's still what happened earlier this month. Seemed like so much time has already passed by, but this still just happened like a couple weeks ago. So the coaching staff, Kwesi in the front office and in the locker room, they're still going through the grieving process. You know, rightfully so, not surprised at all. You could kind of tell from when they were talking about him, you know, it was still difficult for them to come to grips with him actually being gone. But yeah, it sucks. It's a shitty situation. You, like O'Connell said, you never want to get that call. You never want to be in that situation. You don't. There's no way to prepare for something like that. It's terrible for Kyrie Jackson's family and friends, and the family and friends of the other two victims as well. But no, I think they're going about it the right way. They're offering, you know, help for those who may need someone to talk to, like in terms of in the locker room, or, you know, even someone in someone else in the organization who just was impacted by his passing. And they're just making sure that everyone has the help, the right help that they need. I think they're going about it the right way. I think they're giving, Kyrie Jackson's family his entire signing bonus, which is over $800,000. They donated $20,000 to the funeral services to help with that. They're not giving away his locker or his number this year that he wore. And yeah, they're going to wear a decal on the back of their helmet. KS, and I think coaches are wearing a pin, and then they're going to, you know, put some stencils on the practice field. And some of it, you know, like the stencils, someone be like, oh, wow, great, great way to honor him. But, you know, to football, a football team, that's a big deal. So I think they're doing the right things. And, they said that, you know, they're there to help with Kyrie Jackson's family whenever needed. And I think that it just goes to show you, you know, that the Vikings are in a good hands with not only their coaching staff, but their ownership as well. Because I think Kwesi mentioned that, you know, the owners, there was no questions asked whenever they came to them about doing something for, you know, Kyrie Jackson's family or anything. It was just like, you know, how can we help, instead of just, you know, asking specifics. They were more than willing to help out, and that's very clear by all the stuff that they're planning to do. So I'm proud to be a Vikings fan after, you know, hearing all the stuff that they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, hearing him talk, you could see they're still shaken up by it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it was very hard for them to talk about it. The press conference flipped on about 30 seconds into the press conference, and the first thing you saw was Kevin O'Connell, and I thought he was going to break into tears at some point talking about Kyrie Jackson. And, you know, I think there would be some people who would probably think, well, you know, he was only there for a couple of months. And I think that's very impressive of the organization, that a player who was there for 2 or 3 months had that big of an impact. It says a lot about the organization, and it says a lot about Jackson as a person. But, you know, Kevin O'Connell mentioned that it does not take long to build strong bonds and relationships on this team. And, you know, as the players were coming in, Kevin O'Connell, you know, normally, you know, you watch Hard Knocks and it's the coach greeting everybody at once in a team meeting. Like, Kevin O'Connell went up to people and like, hey, man, are you good? Like, if you need it, we got counseling, we got all of this stuff here. And I could be very wrong, but I remember the last kind of exercise like this was Tony Sperano's death in 2018. Mm-hmm. And they went to the funeral. A lot of people went there, and then it was just slap a patch on the jerseys and go play football. Like,
yeah, we don't really know what happened.
Right. I mean, we don't know what happened in the locker room. I'm just saying, like, from the outside, that's what it looked like. And now it's like, you know, you see, you know, Kevin O'Connor, hey, if you need to talk to people, there are people to talk to. If you need to, you know, get together as a group, you guys can do that. Like, anything you need to cope with this is fine. And I think part of it is too, you know, the sooner they cope with this, sooner, you know, they can turn the page and they can play for him, which is basically what they look like they're going to do. I feel very confident that Kevin O'Connell, and I mean, it's a difficult segue to go from, hey, he's gone, he's dead, we need to memorialize him, and okay, go play football now. Mm-hmm. But I think that Kevin O'Connell will be able to turn this into some kind of positive energy and a galvanizing force toward the 2024 Minnesota Vikings. And like I said, it's hard to do. Like Tony Sperano, that was very sudden. You know, Corey Stringer in 2000. I mean, the season kind of, you know, for the lack of a better term, went in the gutter. And there were other things that went on in 2000 that kind of doomed the Vikings from the start, like Robert Smith retired out of the blue. You know, Chris Carter kind of fell off a cliff in his career. There were other things you can point to, but it's hard to say how they can move on, but I think they have the right mindset.
Yeah, the regime under Zimmer when Sperano died, it was more of an old school, like, hey, you know, this sucks, but, you know, we're football players, we're tough guys, we can take this and let's get back to work. Where I think Kevin O'Connell and the current regime are more like, you know what, like, we're still people at the end of the day. You know, we all have feelings. We all handle things in a different way. You know, if someone needs more time to handle something, then so be it. We'll figure out what to do to help, you know, this person to, you know, just make our team overall better and make it, you know, because these guys are together. Like they see their teammates more than their families. So like during the season, you know, sometimes in the off season, like these last 6 weeks are really like the most time these players spend, you know, with their friends and families throughout the year. So, it's not surprising that someone like Kyrie Jackson was able to make such an impact too. And he was able to meet with like Kwesi and some of the coaches before the draft during like the Senior Bowl and top 30 visits too. So I'm sure he made an impact there. But yeah, it's definitely way different. And you would like to hope that it doesn't impact their season in a negative way, kind of like Corey Stringer's death and Sperano's death impacted the 2018 season, you could argue. But it, also, it who cares? Like if certain guys can't go because they're not ready to, they can't get over it yet or whatever, then whatever. Like the people part of a person should come before, you know, the football part. And I think Kevin O'Connell's made that pretty clear.
So again, a very tough transition, but there were other things that were discussed as part of the press conference. And the first one was Jordan Addison's arrest, which happened 6 days after Jackson's death. I guess the Vikings said all the right things. They said they were disappointed in his actions. They emphasized that Addison's development as a human being, as well as all the human beings on the team, are a top priority. And he acknowledged that the legal process will play out and they'll wait for the NFL to decide on any potential punishment. Are the Vikings taking the right approach with this? I mean, this is kind of situation.
Yeah, I think it's kind of out of their hands. Like Kevin O'Connell mentioned, like it's this really like a league matter now to figure out how to deal with it. Cause you know, if the Vikings punish him on their own, you know, suspend him or fine him, then, you know, the NFLPA could potentially get involved and say that the punishment was too severe or whatever. And then that could just create open a whole can of worms that the Vikings probably don't want to deal with. Yeah, it sounds like they were disappointed. Do you think we could have, could you tell maybe, like, it doesn't seem like I know reports have already been, you know, come out and stuff or whatever, like, we don't think he was drinking when he was arrested. And then the way they came off, it didn't seem like he was doing that. Cause I feel like if he was drinking, they would have been way more angry in their response where, you know, Kwesi and Kevin O'Connell were more like, you know, we just have to all do better at, you know, giving him the right tools to not make these mistakes again in the future, kind of putting some of the blame on themselves for not pointing him in the right direction. At the same time, they're both like, you know, you gotta not do this stuff. It's, you know, gotta grow up and stuff and mature and make the right decisions. But the message I took away from their response was like, yeah, we have all these resources and, you know, we want to make sure that Jordan Addison is like the best person he can possibly be. At the same time, if he probably gets in trouble in a similar way again, I wouldn't be surprised if they cut him. I think they're giving him a pretty long leash. If he was, say, a fourth round pick, I don't think he'd be on the team anymore. So I think him being a first round pick and him being talented has a lot to do with him still being there. But it just seems like the Vikings, do you think he would be on the team if Mike Zimmer was the head coach?
I feel weird gritting my teeth about that. But again, it's the first round pick thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if like you said, if he's a fourth round pick, I think the answer is no. But him being a first round pick,
I think they eat a bunch of. Well,
yeah, they would.
With his arrest, I feel like they could, even if they cut him, they wouldn't probably owe a lot of money. They could, you know,
some language in his contract.
Yeah, breach of contract and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like what he did, which I'm sure the Vikings know more about than we do, is they're looking at it as like, this is just a kid making a dumb mistake. It could have been way worse, but it wasn't. And it's our job to help him, learn from this and not let it happen again. I'm going to wonder if they're going to do things and be like, hey, you're not going to drive anymore. Okay. Everywhere you go, take car service. Cause I think, I don't know what podcast I was listening to, but I think they're talking about, I think it was Purple Daily and Doogie was on there. He's talking about talking to Josh Metellus, and Metellus was saying how when he was in LA, he was getting a car service everywhere. And I was just like, yeah, everybody should do that. who's an NFL player in a city that I guess Jordan Addison does know a little bit because he went to USC, but like still just.
But he was only there for a year.
Yeah. Just drive, just have someone else drive you. Like even in LA, like who, nobody wants to drive in LA. But yeah, it just seems like they're more, this regime is more about trying to get guys to learn from their mistakes and improve as a human being, the football aspect situations. And they just want you to be a better person. And if you can't figure it out, then, you know, they did what they could and they gave you chances and you can try and go figure it out somewhere else. But for now, they're going to see if they can help Jordan Addison. I don't want to say get back on. I didn't want to say steer him in the right direction because that would be not the right words. But get him back on the right.
We know what you mean. We know what you mean. This is probably going to be a very old man take, but I'm also kind of glad that there is one resource that he could learn from, and his name is Chris Carter. Who had, his demons were way more intense than Addison's are, because I believe there was alcohol and cocaine involved.
That we know of. We don't know what Addison was doing.
Yeah, we still don't know. I guess that's a good point. But, you know, this is just how the NFL works. I saw Addison, and I mean, maybe in the defense of others, like don't post a picture of you at a bar drinking a mimosa after you get a DUI. Cause like we mentioned last week, a Minnesotan's terminology of DUI is different than a Californian's terminology of DUI. So like if you're drinking by yourself, people are going to be like, what's he doing? You know, the NFL usually waits for the legal process to play out.
Right.
Then they sit there and they go, okay, you're found guilty. 2-game suspension or whatever. And usually, as you mentioned, that's negotiated upon with the NFLPA at some point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a punishment that everybody agrees to.
I think safety who's with, I don't know where he's with now, but he was with the Jets before. He was a starting safety, and I think he got arrested in 2021 for drunk driving. And he just got suspended this year, I think, or last year for like 3 games. So it was like 2 or 3 years after the incident happened. So I don't think anything's gonna, I would be very surprised if Addison was punished for the upcoming season. It would, that things would have to go very quickly. And if anyone's familiar with the legal process, nothing goes quick with that. So he should be on the field week 1.
Well, let's talk about football stuff then.
What?
We've got the, yeah, I know, right? It's, not a lot of fun, but the Vikings did update us on some injury news, most namely TJ Hockenson. Of course, Hockenson recovering from that multi-ligament knee injury. Kevin O'Connell said he's ahead of schedule and everything's going great, but he'll begin camp on the physically unable to perform list. So you could take that either way. The Athletic's Alec Lewis noted that he's unlikely to start the season on the pup lip because of the NFL's rules. TJ Hockenson was also on the Bustin' with the Boys podcast. And they're like, so you're going to come back week 5? And he's like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. So nobody's committing to a timetable right now. How confident are you we'll see TJ Hockenson before the bye week, which would be week 6?
I'll put it at like 25%, just because we don't really know how much he's recovered by. Obviously, I think Kevin O'Connell said he's ahead of schedule, like you mentioned. But it'd probably be really bad if he was like, "Well, he's actually behind schedule, and it's going to probably take a couple more months." So, if there's one thing Kevin O'Connell does, he's the glass is like overflowing whenever he's talking. So, but yeah, I would actually take my opinion more from his appearance on Bussin' with the Boys when it's straight from Hockenson's mouth, where they asked him and he's like, he's hanging out with like dudes, like football dudes. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. So I'm going to assume that probably after the bye week is the target. Cause I think on that podcast too, he also talked about how like every week that goes by decreases his chance of, you know, re-injury. And so the more time he takes, the less chance of re-injury he's going to have, which is something the Vikings would probably rather have since they just signed him to a massive extension. And this season, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't think they're going to be in contention to win the Super Bowl. So, you know, this is a season. If he's going to miss time, this is the season. Does it suck? Yeah. Do I think that they can figure out different ways to, you know, be productive on offense without him, for sure. They got Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones, you know, maybe Robert Tonyan can add a spark or something. But I think it would be different if Kirk Cousins was still the quarterback, because I think Kirk Cousins and TJ Hockenson developed a pretty good connection when those two were on the field. But with two brand new quarterbacks out there, like, that connection isn't there anyways. So I think it's probably easier to deal with. But yeah, like, he got a pretty severe knee injury, and it happened late in the season. So nobody should really be surprised that he's still, you know, working his way back. Not everyone's Adrian Peterson, isn't made of, you know, as mutant DNA or whatever inside of him to heal super fast.
Go win an MVP award. He got off to a slow start that year too, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't. Well, like, I think towards the end, he was like cyborg level.
Yeah, I think he scored 3 touchdowns in the first game, but he only had like 70 rushing yards. I think it was against the Jaguars. I think he really came on that year in the London game. I think they played in London. They played the Steelers, or was that the year after?
I think that was the year after.
Okay, yeah. That last month of the season when the Vikings were like 4 or 5 games out of the playoffs, and they just literally strapped the whole team to his back. And he just ran out of his mind. I think he gained like 1,000 yards in the last like handful of games. He was crazy. But yeah, let's TJ Hockenson's not going to be back anytime soon. This shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. I think he talked about Van Ginkle too, and how he might be ready for, he should be ready, you know, to practice this year. I think he was dealing with a foot injury. Oh, random tangent on Van Ginkle. I was watching the Miami Dolphins Hard Knocks. They did the in season or whatever last year. So I was watching.
I thought you were going to say Ace Ventura, but
no, go ahead. I like that movie too. But I was watching the Hard Knocks. They did in season last year. Van Ginkle was on the team. It's like the 3rd episode, and what's his face? Who's the pass rusher that tore his Achilles last year? I can't remember. Oh, Jordan Phillips. No, not Phillips.
Jalen Phillips.
Jalen Phillips. Yep. He tore his Achilles, so Van Ginkle had to fill in for him. And so, like, the 3rd episode is kind of like, a lot of it is a focus on Van Ginkle. Like, they follow him home. They follow him in the film room. It's really cool, like, to figure out, you know, kind of learn some things about him. He named his son, one of his sons, Ripken. So his son's name is technically Rip Van Ginkle. So I just thought that was really interesting. But no, he seems like a cool dude, and I think he'll fit in well with the Vikings. So, but back to Hockenson. No one should be surprised by this. He'll be back when he's back, and I don't think it's something that they should rush. They didn't rush Justin Jefferson back. They shouldn't rush TJ Hockenson back either.
I'm looking at Adrian Peterson's 2012 season.
Yeah.
The first 6 games, he only ran for 499 yards. Of course, he ran.
Oh, wow.
He wound up with over 2,000 that year, which is why he won the MVP award. But in that season, in those first 6 games, he carried the ball more than 20 times, just twice. In week 3 against the Niners and week 4 against the Lions. But otherwise, 17, 16, 17, 17. So they really managed his load early.
So dumb.
Football,
you cannot do that.
Yeah. What do you mean? I mean, compared to, so like the rest of the year was 23. Okay. Then there's 15, there was 17. Then it was 27, 18, 21, 31, 24, 25, 34 to end the year.
All right. Yeah. The over 30. Yeah. But like, I just think it's funny when coaches are like, we don't want to give him 25 carries. We're going to give him 20. I'm like, there's like no
still difference. Hurts.
He's still getting drilled on every time he gets the ball. So
it's like baseball players who, we're going to give them a day off. Like, well, like
receivers. We just watched that docuseries. They get the ball like 5 times a game, and they get a shit beat out of them every time they get the ball. So
especially if you're catching passes from Josh Dobbs or Jimmy Garoppolo. But that's another conversation. I am surprised Devontae Adams didn't just go to the podium and just rip Gardner Minshew apart like immediately. Like, this guy looks like he's going to have a 5-star banger in the Tokyo Dome. What are we doing here?
He's Devontae Adams is I don't know.
He's gonna go with Aaron Rodgers. I'm actually surprised that, well, you know, Devontae is pretty upset in Las Vegas, and that's where I was over mandatory minute camp, or mandatory, as people say, because I know what the meaning of mandatory is. Mandatory in my world is completely optional. So I'm Aaron Rodgers. Vote for me. I mean, there's no reason to rush TJ Hockenson back. I mean, and like you said too, to the externally, the Vikings are going to say everything they can, and I think they believe they're a playoff team. They kind of have between the line. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, in their minds, they're not thinking, well, we suck, we're just going to hold TJ Hockenson back. But they also know, hey, this probably isn't our year to pop. We would much rather have Hockenson back for a late playoff push.
This isn't like the Niners who are like, we need him to be back to like try and get that one seed in the playoff.
Right. Yes. As Kyle Shanahan's like bashing on somebody's Achilles with a baseball bat or something. it's practice. You need to practice harder. Okay. Really, both of these injuries that are kind of the key ones. And I mean, with the 17 game schedule now, like if he's back by mid-October, I'm okay with it.
And they have that.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Thursday night game,
mm-hmm.
kind of in the middle of season two. So that's that's another mini buy.
I mean, it could be week 8 when you look at it.
He could be coming back maybe when JJ McCarthy debuts.
Yes. So I would not, if you play fantasy football, I would not draft TJ.
No.
Unless it's like very late and you want to stash him or something, because I know people do that. I'm not a big fan of like doing tight ends in fantasy football because most of them are like 3 catches for 21 yards.
Yeah, that's definitely a position I like to stream, as you know, they call it in fantasy land or whatever. I think that's what they call it, right?
Stream what? Fantasy land?
No, like they, when you get like a different tight end every week.
Oh, yeah. Like people do that with defenses. I don't know why you're doing it with playing fantasy football with defenses or kickers or anything like that. I'll go on my fantasy football rant later, but it just makes no sense to bring him back. Van Ginkle, even him, like, you have a lot of guys that could cover for him. I mean, you have Jonathan Grenard, Blake Cashman can rush from the outside a little bit. You could also use Dallas Turner a lot it's the most expensive trade ever. Oh my God, the Vikings are going to fall apart because they traded up for Dallas Turner.
Yeah, the Jaguars are going to just win the Super Bowl now because they got so many good picks.
All those picks. Other injury news quickly. Najee Thompson was placed on the PUP list as well. And Dwayne McBride was placed on the non-football injury list. Dwayne McBride season, probably not happening.
I mean, they didn't sign Cam Akers, so he's got a better chance, but starting on the NFI list. And maybe it's just like, I don't know, maybe he hurt himself in the conditioning test or something. Who knows?
That was weird.
Oh, Cam Akers, yeah.
Like, everybody was like, yeah, he's on the team now, and then the Vikings never announced it, and, like, nobody ever followed up, I guess.
He clearly didn't pass the physical, right?
Yeah, no. I tweeted it out. It was like the security guard kept where he's like, all right, you're good. We need a running back behind Joe Mixon.
Dr. Nick works for the Texans, which would make sense. So, Sean Watson.
Nick Paparesta is the I-94, 494, 24/7 Intercontinental European two-time trainer of the year, award winner. And you're just bragging on him because you just don't like, God, not even a real fan.
Eric Sugarman would have passed him.
Hey, they're M&Ms. Just kidding. It's Toradol. Donut Club. Donut Club. The drugs are in the donuts. Yeah. we're not accusing him of doing that.
There. There's other evidence of him doing that elsewhere.
Yes, yes, yes. That would be clever, though, if he'd like... goes to the bakery.
These donuts are really good.
Hey, do you want to mix these into this like donut order for me? It's for a thing. Let's move on to topic number two. And this is the one that everybody's going to have their eyes on going into training camp. It is a quarterback competition between Sam Darnold and JJ McCarthy. Kevin O'Connell was on KFAN or KFXN, whichever you prefer, talking about, training camp in general. And he said he expects a competitive training camp between the two quarterbacks. What does that mean? Is Sam Darnold already in trouble? O'Connell clarified today. He said Sam Darnold will get the majority of the reps with the first group. McCarthy will be sprinkled in at times. And again, McCarthy signed his rookie deal, so that's not a problem. And some of you are still got those TikTok videos. It's a little late now. He also noted that Nick Mullins doesn't need the workload to be ready during the regular season, probably because he knows they're screwed either way. And if Nick Mullins, we were talking last week about what if JJ McCarthy's the third guy and Nick Mullins needs ramp during camp? No, he doesn't, because Nick Mullins plays the same way, whether he has reps or not. All right, coach, I'm throwing it 40 yards out. All right, this is just simple check down route. Nick, woo, shoot the thrill, baby. Like, he's like Gardner Minshew on meth, but
he's a homeless man's Brett Favre.
He is. He's not even diet Brett
Favre. He went to Southern Miss, so that's why I use Brett Favre.
He's like some, like, it's Diet Coke. I got it from the homeless man in a back alley. It's not Diet Coke.
It's Aldi's Diet Coke.
It is. Yes. Oh, man. Do you think there's a valid quarterback competition between Darnold and McCarthy, or is Kevin O'Connell just coach speak?
It's a majority of coach speak. He's trying not to destroy JJ McCarthy's confidence immediately. Give him, he doesn't want him to just be all flustered and everything. He's already gonna be hard enough for him to adjust to the NFL and the playbook and everything, and everything you have to do as a quarterback in the NFL. Like, having your coach already say he's confident in you or express his confidence in you, it probably helps a little bit. And at the same time, I think Kevin O'Connell's kind of opened the idea of hey, if he's good enough in camp in the preseason, why not play him? I mean, CJ Stroud played immediately last year, and they went to playoffs, and now everyone thinks he's the fifth best quarterback in the league or whatever. So Sam Darnold, why are we crowning him? He's just cemented in, his name is in Sharpie, and then the starting, this is Sam Darnold. This is the same Sam Darnold we're talking about that's been in the league and done nothing in career. Say what you will about the teams he was with, but really good quarterbacks are typically able to overcome terrible situations. And Sam Darnold has really shown nothing that he's probably going to be a solid. I think someone's today saying Sam Darnold's next Baker Mayfield with the Bucks. And Baker Mayfield was actually pretty good before he hurt his shoulder and just didn't want to get surgery. But Sam Darnold's never had anywhere close to a season of even mediocre Baker Mayfield. But yeah, all of a sudden he's going to be decent. Maybe he will, but there's no evidence to prove that. So I just I don't think there's going to be a competition. I think they want Sam Darnold to be the starter. But if McCarthy's looking amazing and Darnold's not looking that great in camp, I don't think they're going to be like, no, McCarthy, you're not starting. This is our plan. You're not getting the starting lineup. You can't play. Like, they're still competitive. Like, somebody asked KOC and Kwesi today, like, you know, you guys have 2 years left in your contract. Are you going to be tempted to put JJ McCarthy in if the team's struggling? So they have a lot of factors to figure out. But right now, Darnold's the de facto starter. But McCarthy, like, he's got a chance. It's not a big one right now, but he does have a chance. But I wouldn't say it's not like a 50-50 quarterback battle, but McCarthy, he's going to get some opportunities with the first team. O'Connell said that, and if he makes the most of them, who knows?
This has a lot of tentacles to it. Yes. I feel like it's not the cut and dry, like Sam Darnold's just going to start. And if Kevin O'Connell came out and said that, yeah, there's no way JJ McCarthy's going to come out and make the starting job, I mean, it kind of just like shows the rest of the roster, like, well, this doesn't really matter, right? I mean, this training camp is exciting to me because there is competition everywhere. Like, you got QB1 is going to be decided by a battle. Wide receiver 3 is up for grabs.
I was just going to say, wide receiver 1.
Yeah, wide receiver 1 even. Who knows? Like, receiver, like, the guard position, the defensive line. Like, do you know anybody outside of Harrison Phillips on the defensive line? Because I might not.
Jerry Tillery,
who looks like a UFC fighter, but we'll see what happens.
He's got like a... Is his head too big or too small for his body? It looks weird.
When you mention that, it reminds me of Nick Mullins, because like every time I, or like Justin Fields too, it looks like their head are just smushed into their helmet. Like they're wearing a hat. Like Justin Fields, I swear to God, he's wearing a helmet like three sizes too small every Sunday.
Like Linval Joseph.
Like, what's
that? Like Linval Joseph. It's like, this is as big as the helmet we got, dude. Like, you got to figure out how to get this
out. It's like a motorcycle helmet where you're like, you have like the face mask and it just like clips on. Like, that's how he gets it on. Like some people just wear very interesting equipment. But like I said, even special teams has competition. Like, you know, Will Reichard and John Parker Romo for the kicker spot, even though there's probably not a competition there. But if Reichard start shanking kicks everywhere, JPR is going to win.
A Vikings kicker.
Never. Especially leading kicker in the SEC. I've just decided I'm just going to be a Will Reichard fanboy because it's more fun than being like, oh my God, he's just going to suck. He's cursed. He put on a Vikings uniform.
I mean, he's got a different coach.
Kick again.
He's got a much better coach in terms of for kickers than Blair Walsh and Daniel Carlson and everyone else before Kevin O'Connell had.
Yeah, rub some dirt on it. You'll be good.
You missed the preseason kick. You're cut.
Hey, have you tried this donut?
Yeah.
Yeah, going down the wrong hill there. But I mean, I think it's good. I think it's really good no matter where you look at, because even though, you know, Kevin Seifert had a real banger of an article on Friday where he went over the decision to look at like it went all the way back to when O'Connell was hired, where he said, well, you can win with Kirk Cousins. And Kwesi's like, well, we don't want to pay him for the next 5 years. So what do you got in mind? He's like, well, we're not going to rush this thing because I was in Washington. They drafted Dwayne Haskins Jr. in the first round. They had the plan of not playing him until he was ready. And somebody, whether it be Jay Gruden, which I don't think it was, or somebody from up top said, put him in the game. And his confidence got shot. And
it rhymes with Schnan Schneider.
Yeah, so, some guy who's been exiled from the league, rightfully so. But, you know, it's like the Christian Ponder thing where you have Donovan McNabb. He's hanging out at McDonald's and Burger King and you got to throw Christian Ponder in after 5 weeks. Didn't work out. And I don't think if like Christian Ponder redshirted for a full year, like he would have been this amazing quarterback. I think there are just flaws that were out there, but it wasn't a great situation. I think the Vikings are fully committed. Like they can look at Sam Darnold and be like, dude, we can't let him wind up like him because he was 20 years old when the Jets started. They drafted him at 20. I think he turned 21 in June. And then 3 months later, he was starting an NFL game. Like
same thing with Zach Wilson.
Yeah. Like you can't. I mean, there are quarterbacks that could overcome it, I suppose. But I mean, the examples aren't very large. I think like
Lamar
that,
Jackson, probably.
Right. I think you got to give McCarthy a chance here and you have to have him go out and rip the job away from Sam Darnold. And I, you know, from the outside and how everybody's talking, I think I'll be really impressed if McCarthy winds up starting week one, because that will be a very good sign with how much they enjoy Sam Darnold. And at the same time, I look at Albert Breer's report like, well, Sam Darnold came in against Baltimore Ravens when they're down by 4 scores in the final 10 minutes of the fourth quarter. And he looked really good. Yeah, because the Ravens didn't give a shit. Like, they already kicked the piss out of Brock Purdy. Like, oh, it's Sam Darnold. Okay.
That's like, you remember way back in the day with the Bills when it was Doug Flutie and Rob Johnson. And I think Rob Johnson got hurt. And so Doug Flutie was in, and he helped the Bills get the playoffs, like, the whole year, turning their season around. And then the last game of the year where, you know, everyone's sitting, everybody, they're playing the Colts. So they put in Rob Johnson. Rob Johnson plays pretty well against this Colts team that probably doesn't give a shit what you're doing. And so the next week is the playoffs, and they play the Titans, Music City Miracle or whatever. They started Rob Johnson because he played so well in week 17 or whatever. Like, that's the same thing with Sam Darnold. Like,
he should have won that game if you ask some Bills fans.
Yes, he should. But like, that was Wade Phillips. He was the head coach picked. But stuff like that, where it's like people just try and find like, if Darnold threw like 3 good passes all year, like if you can get him to do that for a whole game, it's like they've been trying for like 5 years. It's not working. It's
the first round pick against fourth round pick argument we made earlier in the show.
Yeah.
Like when you're a first round pick and you're third overall, you're going to get more chances than a guy who's, you know, it's a totally different thing because this is 100% completely on field. But like you saw it from like his introductory press conference, like he was sitting there next to Aaron Jones, and Aaron Jones has the sunglasses and everything on. And he's like, yeah. And like Sam Darnold's like, hey guys, I didn't think there'd be a press conference. Wow. That light's bright back there. Really excited to be here.
Yeah. Did you see the video of McCarthy walking in yesterday? What he said?
What did he say?
He said,
I saw the video.
He said, but you smell that? What he smells like? He smells like football. And then he walked in. I was like, QB one right there.
That's my quarterback. Smells like football. But I'll give you one more. And this is probably more pertinent to the Viking situation. Remember Matt Flynn?
Oh, yeah.
Matt Flynn went nuts in a week 17. Yeah, against the Lions, who probably had vacations to Cabo mapped
Joey
out.
Joey Harrington.
Was yeah.
Harrington or Stafford?
No, that had to have been like Stafford's Orlovsky. First year or something. Maybe
Orlovsky was in by then.
Well, he signed in what? So what year was Russ drafted? 2013? 2012?
2012.
So I think it definitely was not Joey Harrington. He didn't last that long.
No, he was on the Falcons by then.
I remember having the NCAA football game with Joey Harrington on the cover.
Oh, that's what was that? Like 03? That,
yeah, 03 or something. Oh, it was a long, and like the Ducks had like,
yeah.
I think Jonathan Stewart was drafted.
It looked like
later,
it looked like steel ribbing or whatever.
Yeah, it looked like diamond plating you would have on the back of your truck. Like those are, a lot of people shit on Oregon's uniforms. I like half of them.
Yeah.
Like some of them suck, but I mean, when you have 45 different uniforms, like you're going to miss one or two. But like my favorite ones, this sidebar, but like, have you seen the ones that look like Puddles, the mascot?
The one, does it have his symbol or whatever on the side?
So it has, I mean, those are the throwbacks, but like they have like, it's orange shoes, orange socks, and then like white. And then like a green top and like the hell. So they look like a duck.
I haven't seen that one.
Fashion alert here on the Viking Age podcast.
To look that one up, see if Bo Nix wore that one.
Maybe. But anyway, yeah. I mean, where were we getting? Yeah. QB1.
Matt Flynn.
Yes. Sorry. Sidebar. Matt Flynn gets that big contract. Russell Wilson goes there. Pete Carroll's like, competition. Let's see what you got. Russell Wilson wins the damn job. I don't think it'll be as extreme of a competition as Seattle had, because Matt Flynn played like half a preseason game and like Russell Wilson played half and they decided that way. I don't think, unless Sam Darnold like pees himself during a training camp practice or something, like I don't think he'll see the field in the preseason. That might be the one situation where I'd be like, it's on. If Sam Darnold has to play in a preseason game and JJ McCarthy plays in a preseason game, then I will say, okay, here we go. But if Sam Darnold is sitting on the sideline, you know, yucking it up with VEN or whatever, like he's going to be the week one starter. But I think they should open it up. That's all I'm saying here.
Doing the circle ride or whatever they do, the video series. Have you seen that?
Yeah, with Gabe Henderson, and they like take a lap.
Yeah. The thing I think we keep forgetting about is Sam Darnold. He gets hurt a lot, and so that's got to be a factor. I think everyone's assuming he's just gonna make it to the season, or you know, not get hurt in the first couple games, because
or even in a practice.
Yeah, you look at his injury history. He's gotten hurt pretty much every year he's been on. I mean, you look at some like the Chargers a few years ago when they drafted Justin Herbert and they had Tyrod, and I think their whole plan was like to sit Justin Herbert probably as long as possible. And then the Chargers doctor decided to like stab Tyrod in the heart with like a needle, and deflated his lung or something. And then they had to throw Herbert in there, and guess what? He won Rookie of the Year, so he was okay. So it's, like, it's football. You have to like be prepared for weird shit like that all the time. So I whenever people are like, "Oh, Darnold's he's the starter no matter what," I'm like, first off, hold on. We're still talking about Sam Darnold here. Second, it's football. You don't like nobody predicted Teddy Bridgewater's leg to almost fall off in 2016.
Hey, that was a different Simpsons character's fault. That was groundkeeper Willie's fault. Okay. No. Just leave a divot in the field. Listen, or whatever.
Let's keep the Simpsons are already like involved in everything in our life. Let's remove them from football because they just seem to predict everything else. Like it's kind of crazy if you look at some of the stuff.
Let's close with this. Just, we talked about Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi talking about the team heading into training camp. You know, I this isn't even a question. I'm excited for this training camp. Like, I think this is the first time in a long time where you have a lot of guys up for grabs. I think the preseason games are going to be pretty fun to watch, actually, just because there's going to be a lot of players competing for spots. This feels a lot to me like the 2014 Vikings, where you had a lot of new faces. You know, Kevin O'Connell's been here for 2 years, but I've said it before. I feel like this is like his first year. So I'm interested to see where it goes during the preseason. And I think going into the year, I mean, like I said, if they go 7-10, okay, whatever. I mean, that's cool with me, but I want to see this team grow. I want to see progress from the first day of camp all the way to the regular season opener and beyond. Like that's the cool thing. And I think that's why I was so frustrated with this team a couple of years ago, was it just felt like they were spinning their wheels. Now they might spin them for a little bit, but they're going to move forward a little bit. And I think that starts with training camp here in the next couple of weeks.
It's going to be nice to watch a quarterback who's not what Kellen Mond or Sean Mannion or Nick Mullins. Like, JJ McCarthy's probably going to have a lot of fun preseason. He's just going to run around and do whatever he wants because he's probably going to get a lot of the snaps, I would imagine, unless they think he's going to have a good chance of winning at the top job.
Would you play JJ McCarthy the entire preseason game?
Not a whole game, no.
Like, how much would you play JJ? Like, he'll start, right?
A half, because you want him to be available for the season.
Correct.
You would probably prefer him to be your backup at the very least. But no, I would give him a full half. They gave Jaren Hall a full half last year.
This is true. McCarthy one. Yeah. And then we all like overanalyze Jaren Hall. Like, is the game's a little fast for him? Can we speed it up a little bit? Then they threw him into a real game, and oh my god, that was bad.
They were like, look at these balls that he's throwing in college. He's throwing these; they're great. And then you're like, oh, he's throwing them to Puka Nacua, and you're like, oh yeah,
that makes sense. Put some respect on Roman Wilson's name, okay? They're Michigan fans. Roman Wilson was at Michigan. I'm talking about JJ McCarthy. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think in my head if there's like any, I mean, it's not like he had a Megatron guy at receiver at Michigan either. So they had a lot of good ones.
No, but just the running back had like 90 touchdowns.
Yeah. Blake Horm. If you watched Michigan last year, that was probably one of the funniest things, is like Donovan Edwards would get them down to the one, and then Blake Horm would come in and be like, come on, man. Like, let me have one. Like let me have push. One. Yeah. Yeah. Have fun with that, Saquon Barkley.
I don't know if it's gonna work so well this year. Kelsey's gone, so I think he was a big reason why it worked.
Yeah, that's gonna be, Eagles are an interesting team. I'm just excited for football. Like, I've said this a while ago, like once the 4th of July hit, my brain was like, all right, football, we got SDSU media day tomorrow, not SDSU but Missouri Valley Football Conference. The Jacks
didn't,
were
Well, the thing about Van Ginkle, he went to SDSU, didn't he? He said he went to South Dakota. Did he go to SDSU or did he go? Is there another one?
I don't think he went.
He said he started at South Dakota, then he transferred to some other college, and then he went to Wisconsin. So he transferred around a bunch.
So I have Wisconsin. I'm looking up his college stats now. It just says 2 years at Wisconsin.
No, he went.
But it starts in his junior year.
Yeah,
hang on.
You got a Wikipedia.
Just make some music or something. I'll get on this.
Let's see. He went to South Dakota. South Dakota.
So he was a Yolt.
So, is that like South SDU?
USD.
USD. Okay.
Yeah, you were close, but yeah.
A freshman. He had 9 sacks as a freshman in 18.
That's probably why he got out of South Dakota. He's like, all right, time to go to the next level.
Then he went to Iowa Western, and then he went to Wisconsin for his final 2 years. And then he got drafted.
Reminds me, I got to hit the portal here tonight, load up my Cyclones dynasty. Just lease out some Hellcats or something.
He's a Midwesterner, so he should fit right in with the Vikings.
Definitely. Hey,
his son, Rip Van Ginkle.
What's going on at the Viking age? Finkle and Einhorn.
Yeah. Like we said, training camp kicks off this week. First practice was today. I'm sure we'll get some slow-mo video of like them doing special teams field goal blocking drills or something.
Get the beat behind it.
Yeah. As long as the music's good, we're good. So we'll be covering all the stuff happening in training camp. Veterans arrive tomorrow. And then the first full team practice, I believe, is Wednesday.
Yeah.
And the first open practice is this weekend, I think, Saturday or Sunday.
Back together Saturday.
But there's gonna be stuff covered. We're gonna be covering stuff all week. People, coaches, and players will be talking all week. They'll be providing stuff. There'll be predictions, of course. So lots of this. We're back in the swing. We're no longer in slow season, so there'll be a lot to talk about. So check it out. VikingAge.com. Follow me, Adam Patrick, at Adam Patrick NFL on Threads and X.
Yeah, you can follow me on social media at The Real Krishad on Instagram, X. I think I'm gonna do a little bit more thread stuff here in the coming weeks.
They're paying people now.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look at, maybe I'll get my quarter or something.
More than X. 4 billion views, and they give you $20 on X. So
here's $5. Area's like, Eon paying my bills. What bill are we talking? Your burrito bill?
Yeah, your gas
beer bill. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also on podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. However you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Adam Patrick, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC Health/whatsyourwhy.